With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, former Clermont and France hooker Benjamin Kayser, and ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman Johnny Beattie. The top 14 came to its conclusion at the weekend, so we'll discuss the final in depth and have a chat with one of the men who's been partying with the Bouclier de Brennus over the last few days. But it's been a big few days in sport in France. So have you been watching the football, Benji, or no interest?
Well, I've been forced to watch the football because when it's bad news, you know, it usually comes back to you. Funnily enough, nobody was pushing me to watch the last World Cup, but this has been very disappointing. But listen, it's about sport. Huh? You got to seize your opportunities. You got to be there at the right place at the right time. Show a big set of balls when it's a penalty shootout, and they just got beaten. So fair play to the Swiss, our distant cousins, and good luck to them.
Absolutely. An opportunity for France to concentrate on rugby, not football, after all the success. And as a Scot, Johnny, I won't mention the football to you.
What do you mean, mate? We drew with England at Wembley. What are you talking about? Of course we can get into it if you want to. That was it. That's the tournament in a nutshell for me. I don't care about the rest. We drew with England at Wembley and we partied like it was 1999 and we're at the World Cup. So no, I was delighted to watch that game. That was the only one that I've caught, actually. Ugh, mate, it's different context. Like Scotland and the population we have, getting to the tournament for the first one in I don't know how many years was superb. My little sisters, their team, win the French World
Cup
last summer. That was the first national football team that's been at a World Cup or a major tournament even, I think 20, 30 years. So no, delighted for them both to have gotten there, to be back on that sort of stage for Scottish sports fans.
And aside from that, and you being in Paris for the top 14 final, good week?
Yeah, really good. It was just great to be back at live sport with fans and have an atmosphere of sorts. Not quite the full Buna, but you know, you're going up through the airport, you get a bit of banter at the airport from different sets of fans. You then, like the metro stations, you've got everyone pouring off and that sort of ambiance that you miss of everyone like pouring towards a stadium. It's really cool just to have been back part of it. And that, weirdly, I know Benji's a different case for you. That was my first top 14 final, which is quite bizarre. So no, it was just great to be there, enjoy the occasion. And actually, the game didn't go at all the way we predicted, Benji, but it was a great game of rugby. Really enjoyed being part of it and seeing the celebrations firsthand afterwards. It was pretty cool.
We've got a new sponsor on board, haven't we, Benji?
We do, mate. We do. Listen, the French are known for their joie de vivre, obviously. Their poetry, their wine, but massive about their food. But yeah, we've got something for everyone to cook as a Frenchman. So the Meter is the world's first best wireless smart meat thermometer. My lamb shoulder has never tasted better. I can pretend that I'm like an absolute rock star. And I can finally make my password proud.
And Johnny, you're cooking like a Frenchman now, aren't you? Are you using the Meter?
I enjoy Côte de Bœuf pretty much every weekend, which isn't easy to do. So look, it removes all the faff out of it. When I have French families over, they can maybe judge me for being a British cook, but this sort of passes me off as a French cook. I get it right every weekend now. So no, it's helping me in saving my bacon on my plancha at the weekend.
Absolutely. It takes all the guesswork out of cooking, whether it's in the oven or in the barbecue. And if you want to bring your A game to the table this summer, like Johnny and Benji, you can get your hands on a Meter with 10% off by using the code FrenchPod10 at Meter.com. That's the code FrenchPod and the number 10 at Meter.com. Raise the stakes with Meter and Le French Rugby Podcast.
Hello, I'm Geraint Thomas.
And I'm Tom Fordyce.
And this is your official invite to come and join our brand new cycling club.
Now, good news, it's a podcast too. So you can come and listen to us, try and build this club from scratch. And we'll have a few familiar faces joining us for the ride too. Right, G, time to tell everyone what we've called this club.
Well, we thought long and hard about this, so we came up with a strong, original name that really stands out. The Geraint Thomas Cycling Club.
Yeah, I suppose it's easy to remember at least, isn't it? We will have new episodes for you every single Tuesday.
Come and join us.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll have a look at this year's top 14 final in a minute, but I just wanted to get your insight into the final more generally, and the trophy, because we talk about the Bouclier de Brennus, and the trophy dates back to 1892, doesn't it? Which is a bit different to other leagues. So the history and the uniqueness of the Brennus Shield is special, isn't it, Benji?
Well, I think it's important to put it back into context. In French rugby history, there's never been a champion that's been granted at any level from being top of the pool. You know, that's just, that system just doesn't exist in France. It's been talk about it for years. I don't think it will ever happen. And the reason why is for what sort of started to describe Johnny at a smaller scale, but, you know, times 1,000 when everybody's back. Going up to Paris. So rugby is very much a southwest, sort of southwest of France, Toulouse, you know, area. Between Toulouse and Biarritz and Bordeaux, that triangle, you pretty much have got the heart and soul of rugby. But with Stade Français and racing, it was like the poshness of rugby, you know. It's funny actually to understand that, you know, rugby started in the town of Rugby in England, right? South of Leicester or whatever it was. Yep. In France, it actually initiated from La Soule. La Soule was basically two villages that were next to each other. You have something that looks like a ball, get it to the other side. So it was a ginormous brawl where you have runners and mauling and scrumming, whatever. So there's that whole thing that everybody can join. It's not a posh sport. Does that make sense? It's a popular sport. And so basically it was the one opportunity for anybody in France to take the train up to Paris and to go party like there's no tomorrow and to experience that whole poshness of the capital. And that's been engraved in forever. So you always have Toulouse that won it back to back, I think four times in the 1990s. And there's like images of trains, of people traveling. Yeah, we're going up to Paris. We're going up to Paris. You know, it's, you know, the peasants, if you want to put it that way, the peasants from the rest of France go there and they shine because they're the best. You know, there's that sense also of coming back to say, boys, we're coming to Paris, not just, you know, to party, but also to show that we are the best at what we do. And that's the way that you put Castres in the map of France. That's the way that you put Perpignan in the map of France. That's the way you put Agen. I mean, you know how Agen, there's what, probably 30,000 people? Castres, there's 30,000 people.
Same,
yeah. They're tiny. Brive, there's 30,000 people. And these were absolutely huge towns in the history of France. Lourdes, Biarritz, Bayonne, they're just tiny little cities. It's only been in the recent history that Bordeaux, Lyon, and all those towns got put in the map. Otherwise, they were gone. So it's tiny little villages coming up to Paris. And that's why this thing is so spectacular. And it's also ingrained in everybody's DNA, because even at youth level, that's what you do. And in a bigger scale, there's like little pool stages everywhere. Then you start by 16th of final. Then you get to the eighth. Then you get to the quarters. Then you get to the semi. And then you start dyeing your hair in blonde, you know, because of the final you're coming in there. And this whole starting 15 does it. You always have to do something stupid. And it's just extraordinary. In those moments, that's what we live. Whatever it is, a shield, a cup, a bouclier, whatever it is, you all go for, we call it the phase finale, knocked out rugby. And that smell of phase, I remember when I was 14, I would always remember, I started rugby when I was 14, and we got to those moments of the phase finale, whatever. We got to the training and the coach is like, take his hands, you know, rubs the grass of the field, start smelling. He's like, boys, do the same thing as me. And you're like, what are you doing? Yeah, can you smell? Can you smell? I said, like, no. Ça sent les phases finales. It smells like knockout rugby. You know, it's just that thing that it's a different mindset. You really need to shift the gear. And so whenever there's been talks of, you know, top six is a bit much to get qualified with a barrage and this, that, as much as I don't really like quarterfinals, I hate the barrage. The semifinal is pretty cool because it's in one town. Okay. But I'm not even a big fan. But the final, mate, the final is spectacular. It's the pinnacle of everything that France can offer in terms of passion, loyalty to your club. There's all those symbolics that are just next level. And that's why European rugby is for the legend, is for the myth. Honestly, top 14 Brennus is for the heart. I mean, it's just this explosion of passion that's beautiful about it. And I think that's what you saw. I will disagree with Johnny. I thought the game was pretty shit because it was chucking it down and the conditions were horrific. And it was frustrating to see two teams that are just capable of playing some extraordinary rugby to be a little bit denied that capacity, even though Toulouse showed a lot of intelligence and stuff to actually put it out under those conditions. But I agree with Johnny that it was such a big game of rugby to see finally a bit of fans, people happy, and now they're partying like there's no tomorrow and they're doing it proud. So It's a big, big moment. That's it. Everybody in all rugby lovers of France, that's in our heart.
And Johnny, the trophy itself and the celebrations with it always goes down in history every year, doesn't it? I mean, you see this year, I think Matisse Lebel sliding into it, the photos that are taken of the Toulouse boys.
Yeah.
I think it's
Do you want me to answer that question, Johnny?
Oh, okay. On you go, Benji.
No, I'm joking. Go on.
I think it's been used as a skateboard in the past. It's, you know, so many different things have happened.
What do you
years,
win? What do you win with the Pro D2? Is it a bouclier too?
Yeah, no, I'm not joking. Same.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. Yeah.
So you can tell us what did you do, Johnny?
We actually took on a tour around all the little villages around the Pays Basque area. So Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, all the little villages, and had a beer in each one of the villages. Some of the boys took it out to the sea, surfboard. I saw Roman Intermac was down there, down near Narbonne, I think, at a beach club. They were using it as a surfboard. I saw Cyril Bay also had the Champions Cup as a pillow and then used the bouclier as like a duvet. He was tucked in on the beach. Like, there's all kinds of ridiculous stuff that you can get through. But it's just good fun, enjoying the moment. I know it's not wasn't top 14, but just once you get your hands on that thing, and again, it was rare for me to get into phase finale rugby in France, but when you get there, enjoy the moment. And again, it's also really cool to see, like, you talked stupid stuff about dyeing your hair, Benji, but like, have you seen Jerome Kano? He's got like a purple rinse, like a purple silver rinse. Like, all the Toulouse boys have gone blonde, different colors. It's just mayhem. It's good fun. You got to enjoy it, embrace it. And Jerome's 38, like last game rugby, and what way to go out? So look, absolutely embracing the traditions, taking around all different villages, having a laugh, drinking way too much, making your missus annoyed, and basically having a week or two of carnage at the end. It's absolutely worth it.
And Benji, you played in a few top 14 finals, one with Stade, one with Clermont. Favorite stories with the trophy or just celebrations in general?
Two very, very different. 2007, Stade against Clermont, and I'm leaving for Leicester. I'm turning 23. I had no clue of how important this was. Acting very, very stupid. There's always a jacuzzi in the Stade de France that normally you put bubble in it that you don't want to see anything anymore. There's people sliding it already. Un ventre glisse, no, you call that. But you know, you
Penguins.
Put like soap on the
Slip
floor
and slide.
You start sliding. So guys will slide on it. And normally you need to headbutt the bouclier that's standing at the end. Basically, the team that doesn't break the bouclier are a bunch of wimps. and there's normally a big old bill for the club at the end to replace it because it always comes back beautiful and shiny and stuff.
This became such a tradition, didn't it, Benji, that they used to have the same trophy, didn't they? But it got battered so much that they have a replica
too many
now.
Times.
So, yeah.
There's even a team that lost it once. And that's an awkward moment. Imagine 4 days later of proper benders, somebody needs to carry it. It weighs a flipping ton. It is so heavy. When you see those boys shaking it like that, have a look at the videos. They shake it once or twice, then they pass it on.
Oh, next.
It is so heavy. So actually having it with you is a burden. Bloody hell, you need to take it everywhere. It's massive. And you need to take it everywhere and it weighs a ton. So it's impossible. You always forget it at the restaurant. You always forget. You can't really put it anywhere, you know, in a taxi or whatever.
Probably for everyone apart from Joe Tacori, Benji. Maybe he's all right.
Exactly. I'm sure. You'll fit in his pocket. But so it was 2007. I was just fresh. Did 3 days of proper bender. Didn't really do anything to the bouclier because I was too respectful. I just did what I was told to do. Jump there, do this, do that, whatever. I was that little Muppet, 22-year-old, you know, not a care in the world. But it's the whole, I don't want to go into the cliches and stuff, but when you have a full day of partying and you wake up and the sun is coming out and you actually start enjoying it by 6-7 o'clock in the morning the next day, when you're truly happy, you're so tired that finally the excitement comes down a little bit and you allow yourself to digest this. There's always some beautiful moments of, usually that's what we are stupid rugby players. We start opening up our hearts in those moments. Oh, I never told you, you know, but I actually really respect you and all those things. And there's friendships that are made and carved forever because that a title in France is really, not in France, everywhere, I'm sure. But because we put so much passion and heart into everything that we do, it really is the one thing that will bind the boys together. So it's a bit particular, but again, to answer your first question, 2007, partied like an animal, did what I had to do, ended up in Euro Disney for 2 days. It was actually really funny. I hate rides. It's just nuts for a couple of days. And then until you pass out of energy, then usually you sleep for one full night. Then you have one other crack at it for another day and a half, and then you collapse. And then Clermont was different. Clermont was just unreal heavy emotionally, but I was deeply touched and happy because I've been chasing that one for a long time. And the most beautiful moment is that my wife was 6 months pregnant at the time for our number two. Fair play to her. She still partied until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I put her to bed and I kept on going, went straight to the train the next day. She didn't mind. She didn't say anything. It was brilliant. And we went straight onto the Place de Jaude, 100,000 people in Place de Jaude. It still gives me goosebumps. And we're there having chats. We had like a little estrade in the middle of the place. And that was just beautiful to give them that bouclier. I had my eldest on my shoulders. And then because my wife was pregnant, we decided to sneak out because I live walking distance from Place de Jaude. You should have seen there was like barricades everywhere with security because there were so many people that they needed to do it properly. And we sneaked out of those barricades into the sea of yellow and blue shirts. And I turned left and my daughter had a jersey that said number two case or whatever on her. And she and we're walking back and stuff. And then there's one person who's like, hang on, you know, looking at the stands where there's a massive screen showing the celebration. And then looking at me, looking at there, but what are you doing? And then my daughter just pointed at all those people. Oh, look, they play with us. They play with us because they've got the same jersey as us. You know, they play with us. They're our team, whatever she was saying. And then she started going, oh, they're the champion, whatever. The whole street turned around, started clapping her and singing us and cheering us just for the two of us with my wife behind. So that was like a precious, precious moment. I got home. I put everybody to bed. I was like, I'm just going to go downstairs 2 seconds. Woke up 13 hours later because I was so tired with 750,000 missed calls. Where are you? What are you doing? I still made up for it the next day. Don't get me wrong. But that night I collapsed.
Love that, Benji. You shared the first trophy with Mickey Mouse and the second with your wife and kids.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And Toulouse, we've seen the photos, some good celebrations for them as well. And let's get into this year's final then. It was a repeat of the Champions Cup final between Toulouse and La Rochelle. Same outcome as well. Toulouse, 21st league title for them. Johnny, you were working on the game in Paris. Mm. So what did you make of it?
I was almost, especially after we built them up last week, I was devastated for La Rochelle. To rock up to their first top 14 final and to play like that must be devastating. I think now with hindsight, the coaches and the players, a few days to mull it over and go back and look at images as they will do, they'll be massively disappointed. And that's not to say that Toulouse weren't excellent in hard conditions, just La Rochelle were poor and came undone and didn't have a plan B. Toulouse defended really well. They completely nullified like all the power runners that we talk about repeatedly. So Antonio, Skelton, Aldrit were just chopped in half, forced a few turnovers on them as well. And like once those guys went missing, it didn't seem like they had a plan B. They're on the back foot and they really, really struggled. And that's it. Once Toulouse got field position, held onto it, they took points. Every time they were in the La Rochelle 22, they came away with something. And that was it. Just really, really badly undone. Unforced errors, lots of pressure on La Rochelle with Toulouse's D, and they just couldn't stick a stand up to it. So disappointing for them. But I think, as we've talked about, they're there. You know, they announced a raft of re-signings or of contract extensions, Skelton and loads of key players up until 2025. So they're there. O'Gara's got a bulk of a squad that he knows can perform extremely well. Just they now have to digest losing two finals, which will be horrible, and come back stronger, use it as an experience, and come back and try and win something next year. Which, look, to be honest, when you see the talent in the top 14 and the Champions Cup, that the lineup that's been announced, it's not easy, but they've had a great year across the board, but they've come to the finish line twice and stumbled in different ways, but stumbled pretty badly twice. So disappointing for them, and it'll be horrible to look back and wonder what could have been. But ultimately, Toulouse played better and managed the conditions really well, managed the rain, even like simple things. I talk about lineups all the time, but La Rochelle let Toulouse take every single ball at the front, allowed them to maul. It was simple. They won go forward ball, won penalties, and they couldn't get a foothold in the game. So, look, hugely disappointing for La Rochelle, but Toulouse, another final, stepped up, knocked out of the park, simple things, done well, repeat time after time. Players that stepped up, Thomas Ramos, an Intermac, bad concussion last week, really nice touch from him as well, actually giving his jersey to Intermac in the change room, saying, this was yours, it's your jersey, enjoy it, you've been great all year, which I thought was a really cool touch. But just again, kicked really well. Peter Aki, outstanding defensively, chopping people in half, smashing everything coming his way. And that was it. They were inspired, determined, and did the simple things well.
And speaking of kicking, Benji, Cheslin Colby, drop goal. Best you've ever seen?
Man, that was, I felt like I was a Toulouse player cleaning that ruck. Turn around, look at him. What are you doing? He is 52 meters, is chucking it down of rain. I would have been yelling at him, no! Yeah. You know, screaming. And then he absolutely belts it. I think he's been under not quite a lot of criticism, but you know, when you're like sort of best player in the world, it's complicated not to live up to your standards. World Cup winner, killing it, chopping people with steps in the final against England. He's got a huge CV now. And it's been a bit of a tricky one for him. So battling with injuries, a bit of a crazy season where nobody knows where they're going. Toulouse doing really well, but he hasn't really performed. But then when you get out of the pocket, for one, I think I don't think he missed one high ball under terrible conditions with pretty young wingers who pretty much left him to do this thing on his own. I thought he was sensational under the high ball after a pretty average semi-final also. And then finally just stepped up, doing the basics right, leading by example, and then that drop goal, wowzers. At the right time, of just when it forced La Rochelle to basically play, and I think they dug themselves into a hole because they were like chasing for points, had a completely wrong strategy, but at the same time, Toulouse just seized that first opportunity of being like 6 points up, then 9 points up thanks to that drop goal. So then La Rochelle were always going to have to chase. They couldn't just afford to put 3 points here, 3 points there. They needed to create. They needed to take the risk. They just couldn't. I agree with Johnny. Thomas Ramos was absolutely outstanding. And all the others that you mentioned. I can just add one more that was incredible 2 years ago when they won it in 2019. Hasn't really performed since and just got called up by the Springboks. It's Elstad.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Wow, he had a big game. Hey, you talked about chopping their big Antonio and stuff. Well, he chopped pretty 95% of them. And then Jerome Kano came on for 20 minutes and only almost killed the dude. So some serious, serious physicality, some serious aggression. And they just won battle after battle after battle. They looked hungrier. They looked more prepared. They looked with a lot more experience. They did the easy stuff well. La Rochelle's line-out will be particularly under pressure with Jono not being happy about not seizing those opportunities at the right time. You got to deliver. Toulouse just did everything that they could. I thought they were completely out of breath. It would have been interesting to see on the dry pitch, but considering what they've done there, physically I think it's as hard, it's just not as rapid. But I'm very, very impressed. So that just means, you know, when you're able to back it up like that, they've got something special, to be honest. And I'm jealous as can be to say it, but fair play to them. They really have done something special. I sent a text to my best mate, Julien Marchand, to congratulate him, obviously, to say that bouclier, you didn't walk in front of it. You properly lifted it. It's 100% his. He was a class act also to let Jerome then lift it, because that's what, you know, to give him back from 2019. They've got something special. They really do. To keep on going, they got that relentless champion attitude. They're hungry as, and they just keep on going. Antoine Dupont, terrible conditions, best player, whatever, in the world at the moment, untouchable. He just rolled his sleeves up and did the hard stuff really, really well. So as much as I hate Ugo Mola with a smile, as much I'm jealous of seeing them win everything, as much as I, you know, I wish I could have a go at them for another 80 minutes, fair play to Toulouse. Because when they play like that, they're untouchable. And when they back it up, that means they've got real values. That celebration is not just boys drinking piss. It's brothers celebrating, making history together. And that's really what it feels like. So huge, huge, huge respect for what they've done.
Well, we can have a chat now with one of Toulouse's heroes from their top 14 final victory and a man who's been enjoying those celebrations over the last few days, former All Black prop and World Cup winner, Charlie Falmuina joins us. How are you, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on. In the final, Friday night, we're chatting Tuesday afternoon. What's been happening in between? How's the head?
Like a few beers, a few good times with the boys, but it was a special occasion. It's something that doesn't happen very often, and for this group of men, it's a great opportunity to get the two.
Mate, I was just saying a couple of seconds ago that 16 years of my career, I chased after Toulouse to try to eat you up, and was so jealous of all the successes that you have, whatever. But this year, I've got to bow down, to be like, to back it up, to keep on going, to still stay hungry, and to deliver under pressure at the end of such a long season when you boys must be absolutely rinsed. I mean, you play God knows how many minutes and backing it up week in, week out. I'm just thinking there must be a special, special bond between you boys. We had Jerome, beginning of the season, he's saying he's enjoying so much the link between the old fellas and the young guys that are just driving this team from within. And I was telling the boys just a second ago that I don't think the celebration for the last couple of days has been just, you know, another title. It's actual brothers that are realizing that you guys created flipping history and that you will be remembered as one of the most successful teams, you know, forever in this Toulouse side.
Yeah, I guess, like, it is. There's no doubt about it. Like, the team, the young, the old, the foreigners, the French, we gel really well together. I think, you know, with the older boys, we try to drive the day-to-day things, and the young boys bring the energy, you know, and it just works really well together. So, you know, it has been a long season. We've had a bit of a scary time towards the end, with a lot of injuries towards the last couple of months. But, man, the guys that just step in and they replace the guy they played before, and they just add their own game to our game, and it just keeps going, you know. It's, I guess, success breeds more success, and it's been a special ride so far, so we hope it continues.
You talked about the young boys organising the off-field. Obviously, the game was Friday night. How's it been since then? What have you been up to? I saw there's a bit of beach bar action down near Narbonne, a bit of surfing with the Bouclier, but what's it been like? What's the party been like and the off-field stuff? Has it been good crack?
Yeah, the boys went to the beach yesterday. I told my wife I was coming back at around 9 p.m, but we got back at 4, so yeah, a bit disappointment, mate. It doesn't happen very often, so it's been good. Boys carried on today. Yesterday they went on a bit of a train ride around the town, which is a bit of a tradition here in Toulouse. So I didn't make that, but the boys cracked on, and plenty of videos there showing what they got up to. So it's been good.
We're definitely more interested in the celebrations, but let's talk about the game a little bit, because Johnny and Benji were talking up La Rochelle last week, and we've all seen their power game. You managed to completely nullify them. So conditions were tricky, obviously, but what was said before the game? What were the tactics? How did you manage to kind of basically nullify the threat of La Rochelle?
Yeah, I think there wasn't too much tactics, and we played them three times before. It's never been easy, but it's we just know that we get into some of their big balls, ball carriers early, stop them on the game line, we'll have a bit of success, you know. And I think, like, everyone talks about our attack a lot, and which it is. Sometimes it's bloody awesome, you know. Me, when I just get up from a scrum and you just watch those backs go and score a try, it's I'm happy because I don't have to run, and then I'm happy because some of the stuff that they have to do. But I think it comes down to our defence, you know. Like, we got a big pack as well, but we just love defence. Like, you got Rainer, who makes 20 old tackles, and he hits bloody hard, that boy, even at trainings. And you've got the two bigger, Richie and Rory. We just all love to tackle, and we make some good dominant tackles. And that just, for a team like La Rochelle, who love to get Aldred and Skelton, and when you on the ball and we just stop them in their place, it's just they've got no front football for their back. So I think it just comes down to that, eh?
And you mentioned getting up from a scrum there and watching the backs do their thing. We were chatting about it with Benji before, and he was saying what he would have thought when Cheslin Kolbe got that ball on the halfway line and dropped the goal. Be honest, what were you thinking?
I didn't know what he was doing. I just saw the back, and I was like, what the hell are you guys doing there? But then, mate, I watched it, and it was like slow motion, and it just, like, it got over that crossbar, and I was like, why not? But he just said, I asked him, why'd you go for the drop kick? And he goes like, mate, we had no options, and he just he pulls that out in the final.
It was insane. And so, mate, obviously you've won a World Cup. You've now done Champions Cup top 14 double. Where does this rank in your list of sort of career achievements? Doing the double, effectively a treble as well, because the youth team, the Espoirs, won the youth team competition as well. So how big has this been in your career?
I think, man, I always hold Toulouse. It'll be a special place in my heart. You know, it was just an emotional, for the Europe, it was pretty emotional. You know, like, we went to the semis twice, we lost twice, and to bloody get the win against La Rochelle was just a sigh of relief, you know. Just took a big breath, and that thing was done now. Like, it was just bloody awesome to get that job done. For this club, for the fans, for the boys, for the families, it was an awesome achievement.
And a word on a man you know very well as well. His last game at the weekend, Jerome Kane. We had him on the show earlier in the season. Special to give him that send off as well.
Yeah, mate. I played with that guy probably 10 years now, or more than 10 years. So, and I've seen the good, the bad, and he's on and off the field. So mate, he brings so much for where we come from and for the next generation that comes through. You know, he's set a pathway for those boys, and you know, you can travel the world from a little place in South Auckland all the way over here, win buddy championships, and it's just if you believe, you can do it, eh? So
I think you're rocking the blonde hair better than him, though.
Yeah, I think he dyed it again. His wife got onto him. So
on social media as well, we saw this morning Joe Tacori trying to bounce a bridge. Not sure if you've seen the clip on the open top bus when bashing into the bridge, but how's the bridge? Is it all right, or how's Joe? Is he okay?
Nah, it's all right, mate. It's all right. It's good. We're just leaving the stadium before we to go to the crowd to our parade, and yeah, he took a bit of a hit, but I don't think it fazed Joe. He just stood up and waved his flags again.
Has he still got both of them?
Yeah, he's still got both of them. Yeah.
Has he stopped yet, Joe? Because we always talk about Joe every week. So he's a cult figure. Well, I can ask you, is he the best guy you've ever been on a night out with? And is he still partying?
Mate, he's the longest guy. Like, one thing I learned when I got to Toulouse was not to drink with Joe, you know. Like, if you try and keep pace with Joe, you'll be well on your way to falling asleep. So, mate, he's a good man. He's lucky. He's the life of the party, you know. He'll be there for 2 days and no sleep, and he'll be still the same Joe. So he's an awesome guy to have in your team. He brings a bit of fun. He brings us like the fun side to the game, which is, he brings the balance to the game. That's what I want to say, which is good for our team. Keep the young boys happy, and then the coaches off our back.
And you've been key to the celebrations as well. If we wind the clock back to the Champions Cup, I don't know if you had them at the weekend as well. The ski goals, you and Peter Aki, maybe others as well. Talk us through the ski goals.
Yeah, I guess, like, mate, you see all the NBA boys do it when they win their championship. So it was a bit of a hush-hush just so the other boys don't start thinking about after the game too much. But, me and Pitts, we and a few of the young boys just put it there on the side of the bag. And then we've had a couple of wins, so we've got to bring them out twice.
I know you played under, I think, Wayne Smith and Pat Lam in your days in New Zealand. I mean, imagine Ugo Moller and the coaching you've had in France is quite different, but just talk to us about the kind of cultural differences and how much you've enjoyed your time in France generally.
Yeah, it's probably the total opposite, you know. Like, back at home, it gets a bit too serious, you know. Like, you don't get to enjoy the beers after the game with the boys. Maybe in New Zealand, the seasons aren't quite as long, so you don't get to celebrate the wins, you know. But here in France, like, we'd win a game, and if it was a game away, there'd be just a few beers, boxes of beers on the bus, and it just keeps everyone happy, you know. Just like, you enjoy those moments. It's sometimes it's taken for granted. And back in New Zealand, it's just, you're expected to win, so it's just, you just brush over. All you get is a protein shake, mate, so. And now it's back in here, it's, you always get a beer. There's always an option for a protein shake, but most of the boys take the beer. So, yeah, it is. It's it's very different. It's but it has its pros both ways, you know. Like sometimes here in France, it's the way we play, the way that Toulouse play. It's a hard. It's sometimes I don't know what we're doing. Sometimes you know, it's a bit when the backs go, you just try to follow. And I think our biggest thing here is just getting in front of football. So we just give them a set piece, and off they go. We just play behind them. But in New Zealand, it's a bit of a system thing. And you play what's in front of you, but it's pre-laid out sort of way. So Toulouse is a bit of an opposite in that way. But the life in France has been awesome. It's a lot more sun here than back at home. So we enjoy that part, eh?
And once you're finished, mate, when you do hang up the boots, will you be staying in France, or do you reckon you'll be heading back home to Auckland?
Yeah, I think I'll be heading back home. I'd like to see what the coaching's like, but I can't see myself in that space. But we never know.
And what's Ego said since the final then? Because as he told you when pre-season starts already, but he can't wait for that. And where do you go from here? I mean, you won the double, you're winning everything. Has he said anything since the final, or has he just let you enjoy yourselves?
Yeah, we've got 6 weeks off now. So, he's always just looking at that fella's always looking at when we're in restaurants, making sure we're not having too many beers or not too much on our plates. But he's no doubt he'll be... I think the cool thing about Hugo is he wants to create history in this club because he's been plenty of good Toulouse teams, you know, and I think he wants this team to be one of the... When you talk about Toulouse, you talk about the 2021, the generation of the Anton Tupont and the Romain Ntamack, you talk about that generation. I think he wants to create something in that regard, so which is awesome. It's not just about winning. You're talking about some great teams in Toulouse, so you want to be one of the best.
You say Dupont and Ntamack and stuff. I got asked like the best combined Premiership and top 14 team of the year. For me, the front row was all you three Toulouse boys. There's Cyril Bailly, Julien Marchand, and yourself. That you boys, particularly, you work well together, and you guys smash it up. Obviously, there's the Lions tour this summer and the Springboks and stuff. Can you talk to me about, do you reckon Cyril Bailly at the moment, he is the best lucid prop in the world? You've seen a few guys coming, you know, in front of you, next to you, whatever, they were absolutely world class. I just feel that I'm not going to speak about Julien Marchand, because otherwise the boys taking the mickey out of me, they think I'm in love with him. But they Cyril Bailly, I think he's really stepped up this year. Yeah. And he's got the full shebang of his possibility. He's a hell of a scrummager, we always knew that, but now he's got the hands, he's got a bit more work rate. How do you reckon he compares to, I don't know, you know, Kitchtoff or Beast or all those boys, Joe Marler, you name them, Mako, whatever?
I reckon he'll be one of the best in the world right now. I think in that final, the European final, I've never seen Cecil play like that for a while, you know. And from then on, for the weeks just before that, he just went to another level. And obviously scrums, like I scrum against that guy every week, and it's never easy, you know. So I know how he scrums, and that's what you're gonna. That's probably one of the first things you get judged on as a prop, you know, if you can scrum. So. Right now, at this moment with this team, he's probably one of the best lucids in form as well. So he's just not by just name at the moment. He's been one of the best. And Julian, that guy is unreal. I reckon them two together in the history of for the future of this club, for front rows, they'll be well on their way to be one of the best.
And the other youngsters as well, mentioned there, Ntamack and Dupont, you've played with some good nines and tens back in New Zealand. Where do those two guys rank?
In club rugby, they're one of the best. When you watch them week in, week out, they perform. I think they've still got a few more years. Like, there's no doubt that they're unreal right now. But where they can go to, like their potential on world stage, week in, week out, I think they're not far away.
Well, you mentioned making history earlier, and you've certainly done that. So congratulations. Enjoy the next 6 weeks. And thanks very much for coming on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me, boys.
Cheers, mate. Enjoy.
Enjoy the holiday, Charlie.
Cheers, mate.
Hell of a season he's had, eh?
He's not saying much, but he's had one hell of a season. Remember, Johnny, when we were working on that game, I can't remember which one it was, Bordeaux, yeah, in the quarterfinal, I think it was Champions Cup, it was, or something.
Yeah.
I think he made 7 offloads or something under the chucking rain. He mentioned, you know, when I scrummage, I just need to put my head up and watch them score. most of the time he's involved into the scrummaging and into building up of those scores. So he does all the crap balls, you know, when the speed of the play is gone and you need to rebuild from the scratch, those little three-man pods, everybody does them in the world. But if you do them better than other teams, that's when you start to create the domination. Whenever he's taken physically, he'll always offload or flick it out the back or whatever you need. And most of the time he gets gain line dominance. So he's had one hell of a season.
And he's pretty much like, he talked about how they're trying to generate history or create their own history with Ugo Mola. Like, he's part of a dynasty. They are creating something. They've got such a high level of play, and the caliber of player they have is so high. They're creating something that is formidable and going to be really hard to break down over the next couple of seasons. If these key youngsters stay fit, like your Duponts, your Intermax, and they operate in the team, plus your Charlie family, like, and I absolutely appreciate what you're saying, Benji, the way he, when nothing's going on, can take the ball at a standing start, a bit of footwork and fend, beat somebody and force an offload or generate quick ball 9 times out of 10. Like, the guy's a freak, an absolute freak show. If you keep that and retain the Arnold boys who bring that physicality, Charlie at tight head, you got Loosehead, Hooker, who are two of the world's best without a doubt. Like, they're just so good up front. They can blow even the biggest teams like La Rochelle off the pitch. So they keep these guys fit. They keep having fun. That's the other thing we didn't talk about. The fact that they are winning and they're able to celebrate and go out and have fun together and team build the way that nobody else can, they're almost compounding their own success. They're only going to get better. And that's where it becomes daunting for the other sides in top 14 in Europe. They are that good. They're celebrating, they're partying, they are making these bonds and these friendships, which are the biggest part of a rugby team. And it was also interesting to hear him talk about how professional it is going in other areas of the world, which is the way it went for me at the end of like Scottish rugby, international rugby. It was finish the game, post-match meal, get on a plane, leave. There was no bonding, exchanging with opposition teams. It's gone super pro, whereas that's the really cool thing in France, is that you can still relax. There's still that little bit less intensity in terms of the coaching pressure, and the fun is still there. And that's one of the best bits in French club rugby for me. And that's where they're just going to go to another level. They've been phenomenal this year, and next year, who knows?
And Benji, when we spoke to him briefly then about the actual game in the final, I almost had to have a little chuckle how easy he made it sound. Stop them on the gain line. Just stop the big boys. We're scouting on the gain line. It's not easy. No one else has managed to do it this season, apart from Toulouse, really. So how did they do it?
Do you see this flipping size of him, mate? He's a monster of a man. He's a human piano. He barely fits on the screen of his computer, mate. He's absolutely ginormous. And he's got 10 mates like that. And those who are not the biggest are the most aggressive. And he must be a very clever bloke, because he highlighted the performance of Elstad just like me a couple of minutes ago. Yeah. He makes me shiver every time I even mention his name. It's like Mufasa in The Lion King. You don't want to
scar.
You don't even want to mention his name. He will destroy people. And in 2019, I was on the receiving end of that. And he really took that younger team of Toulouse to the other level, thanks to his physicality. The Arnold brothers were definitely there. But last year, he had a bit of an awkward season. Don't know why. Injuries, up, down, form, first time picked for Springboks, whatever it is. But this day, for this final, he seriously stepped up. Maybe the conditions fitted him. But, you know, you need to, a team is what it is. You need to be able, the best teams will be able to adapt to any conditions. An opposition, a ref, a context, a venue, hot, cold, night, day, whatever it is. Those are the dynasty building teams. And I really think that you then use either players are capable to shift to sort of something different and are hybrid in terms of strategy and what they can implement, or you're able to pull out from when you need. That's good coaches do that. You know, it's like you had a set of schools, you've got your golf bag. Sometimes you're going to use a driver, sometimes you're going to putt. And I just thought, it's chucking it down. Elstad probably doesn't need anything told by Ugo Mola and all his mates. Like, boys, that's when I step up. That's my game. I'm going to take care of all of them. And I didn't watch all the game, but every single impact that I saw, Antonio and Skelton, it was him in the knees or chopping them in the half. So you could almost tell that he was like pushing people on the line to make sure that he could line them up and impact them as well. But that's also quite selfless. That's saying, that's what I can bring to my team. I'm going to do to the absolute best of my ability, and then I'll let the others do what they do really well. And that's what the true, really well functioning teams manage to do.
And we often talk about tactics, Johnny, particularly in regard to Jono Gibbs and Ronan O'Gara, the conditions as they were for the final. Charlie mentioned it. Did that mean tactics were sort of out the window a little bit? And it was just, it was like Benji talks about, it's heart and it's defense.
Yeah, but you need to know how and when. And like Benji mentioned, sometimes you pull out a drive or sometimes you pull out a putter. Ronan O'Gara has grown up in the rain playing for Munster, knows how to play wet conditions, and his team did not do it. They did not execute any of the simple things. They didn't play for field position, at line-out time. If you play against Munster, they compete hard at the front of a line-out. If it's pitching down, they put pressure on a hooker. Benji will know, having played against them a million times. And what I found really strange was that even after half-time, when the coaches got a chance to get them in and dress them down, which they should have, and say, look, there's a change required in the way we're playing X, Y, and Z, nothing changed.
Yeah, but the score was gone already, Johnny. You're right. You're 100% right.
But it doesn't matter.
The score was there already.
For me, simple things. You get in half-time, John O'Gibbs has to say, stop allowing Arnold, brother number one, to jump on the 7-meter line and take easy ball. We have to compete at the front. It's pissing with rain. Somebody getting there. They didn't do it. So like, they didn't even have the leaders on the field, the leaders off field, didn't have the tools to let them adapt or persuade them to adapt. They kept rolling out the same thing. And that was it. Like, even, I don't know, there's a mix to be said of they couldn't hold onto the ball because of unforced errors, but Toulouse were so good with their line speed and the rush defense that they pressurized and they turned over the ball. And like Benji just mentioned, the work of Elstad, the work of the Arnold brothers on the gain line, Charlie Famina, these boys coming at you like steam trains and smashing you, they were guddling the ball, knocking on and turning the ball over. They could not get into the game. And look, it was a case of, if we have ball, retain it for two phases, offensive kick, create a 50-50 in there and go for field position. That's how you play in those horrible conditions. And they just, for whatever reason, could not get that through their team. It was really bizarre to watch.
And all of those things you mentioned there, leadership, line out, physicality, how much did La Rochelle miss Pierre Bourguerie then?
In the line now, it's probably, yes, he's the starting hooker in tough conditions. He's a bit your Luke Cowan, your French Cowan Dicky. So he can get you, you know, a few pick and goes. He's definitely got that physicality, but he would have not been able to do it on his own. But definitely they missed him on both games. There's one other element. You are talking about tactics. I thought that was very clever of them. So Thomas Ramos stepped up, played at 10, right? Because Romain Tanak was gone. But I don't know if you saw, I mentioned it earlier that Chelsea and Colby was a bit on his own at the back. It's not entirely true. The two of them were covering the back. So Thomas Ramos would either kick and then stay, or would basically try not to be involved. So he was still playing number 10, but covering the backfield because he's so good under the high balls. Mm-hmm. And if you compare that to, what's the fullback name for, I don't know, because Brice Tulin got injured, of course, after 20 minutes. Yeah. So that's also a big loss for them. And then Leeds, is that how you
Dylan
say his
Leeds,
name?
Yeah.
Dylan Leeds, who stepped from the wing and went fullback. And unfortunately, he had a bit of a shocker in the air. So it's also those little tiny details that sometimes you can make up for as the game goes. But when it's chucking it down, that Toulouse is already 9-0, it obviously kills you.
And then the quality of those kicks, once you get on the front foot, you kick on your own terms. So every time La Rochelle received a kick, they were getting man and ball. Every time Toulouse were receiving a kick, it was they take the ball, they have 3 seconds to make a decision, then they choose what to do and kick back. Like, it's the finer detail and everything that they did was just off, and they were second in every single facet of the game.
And too early to talk about where this crop of Toulouse players rank in terms of the massive history of that club, but the last completed season and now this one, they are building a dynasty, like you've both said.
You compare it to the best team in the history of the sport, in France, won it back-to-back 4 times, including a double in 96, I think, or something like that, for the first Champions Cup or Heineken Cup. They were still ultra, ultra mega dominant. They're not there yet. They've added the 5th star, which are already making history in the history of the competition. They've almost pretty much won back-to-back top 14, but let's not forget that last year they weren't as good, so you don't know what would have happened. They've got so many young guys that will take over. They will still lose, to some extent, one of the true leaders of this team, Jérôme Kainel. So you have to assess, you know, you're not going to be replaced. The Tolofua brother is extraordinary. They're going to have a cross will step up, whatever. They've got fantastic players. That's not the issue. But they're still, he's obviously going to leave a gap, right? He's only one of the most legendary players in the history of the sport. So it's pretty big. I definitely believe for them that the future is bright. I do also believe that other teams will step up and that other crops are getting hot. But then to decide whether they're the best team in history, they're unfortunately going to have to repeat this next year, which has never been done before. They need to do something that's never been done before.
And just finally, before we go then, France get their 3-test series in Australia underway next week. So do you think they're going to come out on top, Benji?
So listen, a tough one, very tough one, don't get me wrong. You never know what can happen. One of them that happened that was half funny, half a little bit half breaking, but my mate Alex Fischer, who is a really good guy, a son of a gendarme, you know, well, like
policeman,
military policeman. So a bit different, but a lovely, lovely bloke who, for the little anecdote, when I arrived at Clermont, got told, "You're back row," and you're like, "Right, you're going to play hooker." This poor kid for 4 months absolutely obliterated his neck, threw like 1,500 balls a day, worked his absolute ass off. And at the end, because he's so quiet and disciplined and kind, just said, I don't really want to play hooker. You know, it's not really what I want to do. And there's, all right, fine, we'll play back row then. And he had one game, absolutely killed it. And they're like, oh, you're actually really good. He's like, I never asked to play hooker, boys. You know, it's not like, it's not a discovery for me. And he's been sensational. He's like a proper graft who commits 150% with a few injury problems. Gets called up by the French team just for training camp in the last Six Nations. Finally gets to go to Australia. Loses his passport in the plane. Gets denied entry to Dubai.
In the plane.
Yeah, mate. What have you done? If you've been on the way back, Johnny, you've been there. Whenever you come back and you do those Emirates business class flights on the way back from a tour, it's Vegas in there. The boys drink from the first to the last night. It's the party in the plane, whatever. On the way there, they were not partying, but it'll be a great opportunity to see some fresh faces. There's the other, you know, CPD Falatea that I told you, who I think on the international stage, a tight head prop can really bring something, considering there's not many tight heads in the world that are good. He can really bring something, even though it's been very quick. There's some new hookers that come, Gaëtan Barlow. Remember,
yeah,
we said
good,
about the cast guy. There's, and then, like you said, Johnny, earlier, well, you mentioned to us offline, this is Sekou Makalu. In and out of the French team, is going to play Southern Hemisphere team, is going to be beautiful. He should start. And I think it's a huge opportunity for him to seize. Charles Olivon is going to be out for a while. He's going to be there. There's a spot to be picked up. Anthony Jelon is going to be captain, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So that's big step up. You know, you can see a few changes and it gets exciting. However, it will be tough. They have to self-isolate. They have to adapt to conditions, change of venue for that first test. I got moved from Brisbane to Sydney, or Sydney to Brisbane, or something like that, because of another lockdown. Obviously not the best, all the best players are not on the pitch, but I've always enjoyed those moments where we can see some new players. And I really do back the French team now, even with rotation, to be able, thanks to the structure and the system,
100%,
pull out a proper performance. Now, to say that they're going to beat Australia and Australia three times is a big statement, but I really do hope they get at least one victory.
Did you play in the tour to Australia where you got absolutely humped with France?
Yeah, that was my first two caps.
So I just think it's so far...
75 points in two games.
See, it happens to us all, mate. I played for Scotland. I know what it feels like. But I just think that is gone. Like that France, even if you chuck in a load of young guys and the French press has been like, no, really, what do we expect from this tour? Like, I think almost expecting the worst, but you talked about the guys, McAlew, girls like Melvin Jamine, the young kid from Perpignan, who's really exciting. Even guys like Iri Barron from Racing, who we haven't really seen at all on the international stage. Then with Fabian's magic, like Fabian's a good coach, a really good organizer. It's not going to be a whitewash, and they're going to be interesting, high quality games. The Australian side's in super this year. The games they've played, they haven't been superb. So I'm excited to see the young kids go, the people that haven't played at all, the new faces, to give sort of French rugby public a new few fresh faces to cheer about. And I just think with the squad and then the coaching staff that they've got, it's not going to be embarrassment, which is the way it's been painted by French press. I think they could go and actually overturn Australia at least once in Australia. Why not? So now I'm excited for it. Positive and looking forward to seeing these new guys in a blue jersey.
So come on then, call it, both of you. 2-1 France, 2-1 Australia. Which way is it going?
Going to go to third match, third test decider, Benji, eh?
Yeah. Hopefully that's exactly it. And with just a tiny little symbolic victory by France for the last one to sneak the series, that would be the unbelievably good outcome. But no, I do believe exactly like what Johnny said. There's some exciting guys in there. They're not going to get trashed. Now, it's a big old step up to go to Australia on their own turf, you know, and to go. But it's the first time we're going to see the Fabien Galthié era facing Southern Hemisphere. So it's fantastic. It's super exciting. Finally, you get to know exactly who does what and how. And it'll give us a proper taste of top quality rugby with fans in the stands. Am I mistaken or not? I don't know. Yeah. I hope so. I thought Australia had people in there. So it will create a good excitement. It's even better to watch on TV. Hopefully you'll generate some new guys, and then you know how it is. You go back home and then you can't wait for the November test to rock up to see what these guys with the others can do, all of them combined.
Well, let's hope for three entertaining tests anyway, and potentially a French series win. And That's it, isn't it? That's a wrap. Final episode of the season in the can. It's been emotional. Big thanks to everyone who's listened and reached out, shown us your support. Just a little pre-season, then we'll be back, won't we?
Hey, you've got to tell us, and we want this to be a brotherhood. We want this to be a collaboration. We want to know like what you like. You know what's going on. What's the future? Let's get all everybody involved. But no, it's been a treat. It's been a treat. I think you can hear in all of our voices how much we adore French rugby, how much we enjoy the specialness of this. We had some absolutely exquisite guests that we're very lucky to chat to, and it's been a treat, definitely.
Absolutely. I'll send you both your pre-season schedules, and I expect you back fit and in good shape. Six, eight weeks.
Thanks, coach.
You can send them. Use them.
They're not going to use them, but you can send them. I was going to say something ridiculous. I was going to say this has been the best part of my lockdown, but I had a child during lockdown, so I can't say that. But actually, like, it's been season one done. It's been great fun. Something completely different. And again, like, the people we've spoken to, great to get to know people that we didn't quite know as well before and chat to old mates and catch up. Because, like, let's be honest, lockdown has been shit for everyone. But this has definitely been one of the silver linings. It's been great fun.
We've enjoyed it. We hope you have too. Get in touch over the pre-season and we'll see you again in a couple of months' time. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Benji. A big thanks to all of you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can as well. And we'll be back next season. Au revoir, guys.
Cheers.
See you, boys.
Bonnes vacances. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.